to investigate the elephant's shape and form. "Oh, my brother," the first man at once cried out, "this elephant is like a great mud wall baked hard in the sun." "Now, my brothers," the second man exclaimed, "I can tell you what shape this elephant is. He's exactly like a spear." The others smiled in disbelief. "Why, dear brothers, do you not see?" said the third man. "This elephant is very much like a rope." "Ha, I thought as much," the fourth man declared excitedly. "This elephant much resembles a serpent." "Good gracious, brothers," the fifth man called out, "even a blind man can see what shape the elephant resembles most. Why, he is mightily like a fan." At last, it was the turn of the sixth old fellow, and he proclaimed, "This sturdy pillar, brothers, mine, feels exactly like the trunk of a great areca palm tree." This curiosity satisfied, they all linked hands and followed the guide back to the village. Once there, seated beneath a waving palm, the six blind men began disputing loud and long. Each now had his own opinion, firmly based on his own experience. For after all, each had felt the elephant for himself and knew that he was right. And so indeed he was. For depending on how the elephant is seen, each blind man was partly right, though all were in the wrong.
The lantern.
Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story, which indicates a moral aspects of our life.
When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about his prophets in the book, in the holy book, he says, they came to يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. They came to teach you the book and wisdom, to expose you to information and knowledge you never even considered existed. Because I've lived my entire life in this material world, right? I was born in it, I was raised in it, I depended on it, it catered to my needs. And I loved it, and this is literally my only world. It's my whole world, and I couldn't imagine that there is something beyond this realm. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created me for things beyond this realm, sent prophets not from beyond this realm, from my species, with my skin, my blood, my nervous system, my, you know, physical biological design, and with information and knowledge and revelation from the other realms to come and tell me, hey, look, I know you're limited to this material world because you never thought anything outside of this existed, but I'm here to bring you news, man. I'm here to teach you about the Book of Allah, which is legislations from the other realm based on this worldly creation. And I'm here to teach you about knowledge and information that pertains to your otherworldly soul. And guess what? Everything you thought right up till now was right based on your own material limited understanding, but it was also wrong because there's more to it. You know what I mean? And this is on a whole huger scale, right? But if we look at it at a smaller scale, when we tell our children something and it seems, and they don't want to listen, is because they don't understand it. That's why Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam says, don't do taqleed in your religion. Don't inherit your religion. Taqleed as in blindly following someone. You know, even when it comes to our maraji', we can't just blindly follow someone. We have to do like some solid research scan through all the candidates and see whoever is a'lam and more competent and more knowledgeable and this and that, right? By taqlid, His Eminence means don't blindly follow someone in your religion. Don't inherit your religion. Make it make sense. Go and understand it in depth. Because if it doesn't make sense to you, now you can comply out of submission to your parents or to your teacher or to your community. But after a while, when you're hit with some sort of question and confusion, you're going to be like, well, that doesn't make sense anymore. How am I supposed to follow a religion that doesn't make sense to me? And, you know, you go become an agnostic or an atheist or a Buddhist if you're lucky. You know what I mean? And on the other hand, that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says it is incumbent upon every Muslim man and woman to gain knowledge and fiqaha, understanding, deep understanding about their religion, so that it would make sense to you. That's one thing. And on the other hand, when we're living with other people, whether it's our spouse, our colleague, our best friend, our parents, our siblings, our neighbors, we shouldn't be so quick to dismiss their opinion and their way of thought because it doesn't make sense in our mind. It makes sense to them. Try to understand them. If they are right and I am wrong, I can correct myself. If they are wrong, but it's not necessarily haram or it doesn't necessarily harm me or the betterment of humanity, learn to respect it. Our religion is a religion of tolerance, because not everyone is meant to think alike. Different people have different understandings of one matter based on their own personal experiences and logic and mindset and perception. And that's natural. Allah created us this way. He says in the Quran that I created you in different tribes and ethnicities and races and languages and skin colors, لِتَعَارَفُوا, so that you may know one in each other, so that you may know one another, you may learn from one another, you may gain knowledge from these differences in opinions and become better people. Thank you so very much for being with us on this episode of The Lantern. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
That was all for today. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode. Till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi amanillah. Ala bi dhikrillahi
tatma'innul qulub. Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shmanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who is from India,
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, August 22nd, 2021. I'm Atefa Irfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us which programs you like the best. If you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and then get your voice heard. Do remember, Listeners Special is your program, dear listener. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. Thank you. Welcome back, dear friends. As usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very important and useful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers at IRIB English Radio. These reception reports, as you may know, enable us to provide a better service, a high-quality service, to our dear listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card from us. So, here, I mentioned some of the names who have sent us reception reports, including Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar from Bangladesh, one of our regular listeners. Also, Perez Mislav Zoladek from Poland has sent us an email, and Rafwan Ahmad from India has sent us an email. Here, I do appreciate those of our dear listeners who have sent us reception report, and of course, we have received many emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during the program, I will read their emails or letters. Shivandupol, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email from India. Also from Spain, we have an email from one of our regular listeners, from Arthur Fernandez Lorella. From the Netherlands, we have an email from Michelle Greenert. And from the United States, we have an email from Bill McDavid. And the last but not the least is an email from England, from Howard Barnett, one of our regular listeners. I truly appreciate these listeners for sending us these emails and letters. After a short break, I will be back with these kind messages. This is Listeners Special, and I'm back with many emails and letters from around the world from our dear listeners. First of all, we start with an email from India, from Shivandupol. Shivandupol is one of our regular listeners who says, "Dear IRIB English Radio staff, thank you for your kind email. I will try to send short audio recording clips and comments, questions about your program and Iran, and hope you can air my comments in your program, Listeners Special. With best regards, and stay safe." And salam and warmest greetings to you, Shivandupol from India, and many thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio, your programs. Of course, my colleagues will send you an EQSL card for sending us this email, and many thanks for your comments. So you're going to send us short audio recording clips, comments, questions about our program and Iran. Thank you for that, and of course we will air it in your program, Listeners Special. Be sure about that. We will air and we air right now all comments from our dear listeners in our program, and your program, Listeners Special. And that's our duty to do that. Best regards, and of course, we wish you all the best. Stay safe and healthy. Write to us soon. We are waiting for those comments and views from you, Shivandupol from India. And from Spain, one of our regular listeners, Arthur Fernandez Lorella, has sent us an email. Arthur says, "Dear IRIB English Radio staff, thank you very much for your kind answer to my previous email. We are all fine here, despite the coronavirus and all this terrible problem. I hope you're all fine there in Tehran too. About the reception report and the EQSL you offered me, I will be glad to receive an EQSL from you, since sending a QSL card via post is not available. I'm sending you all reception report Would it be possible to confirm it with your EQSL, please? Thanks a lot in advance for your help and your nice programs. Stay healthy. And salam and warmest greetings to you, Arthur Fernandez Morella from Spain, and kind greetings from Tehran. Of course, we are getting well in Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Thank God. And the population is getting vaccinated day by day. We are feeling healthy and safe right now. And we hope that in your country and all over the world, of course, everyone be safe and fine. Of course, despite the coronavirus pandemic. Many thanks, Arthur, for sending us this email. Of course, my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card. Enjoy it. And as you said, sending a paper QSL card is not available via post because of the pandemic, of course. So my colleague will soon send you an EQSL card. And many thanks for writing this email to your radio station, IRIB English Radio. Arthur, in your upcoming emails, please tell us which program or programs you like the best. Tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. Wish you all the best. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And just after a short break, I will be back with other emails from the Netherlands this time. Welcome back from the Netherlands. We have an email from Michelle Griard. She says, "Dear friends, today I had the privilege to listen to your radio station. I'm a new radio listener since the coronavirus pandemic started in the world, and I have found this hobby very interesting. That is listening to the world radios via short and medium wave. Please find my recession report attached to this email. I include also an MP3 file to prove that I have listened to your radio. I hope you will verify this report. Sincerely yours." Salam and warmest greetings to you, Michelle Griard, from the Netherlands. I wish I'm right in pronouncing your name because I don't know Dutch. Anyway, many thanks, Michelle, for sending us this email. And of course, it's an honor to have you with us. If it's a privilege to listen to IRIB English Radio, it's an honor for us to find another listener from around the world, this time from the Netherlands. Michelle, many thanks for sending us this email. So you started listening to different radio stations in the time of coronavirus pandemic? That's great. It's a great hobby, of course. I think besides being a hobby, listening to radio adds to our information. It has news part. It has information about different countries. For example, in our radio, we air different programs about our country, Iran, like Close Up Iran, Iranian market, different programs about our country. We have the news section. So besides being a hobby, it can be an informative source about different countries. So welcome. We wish you all the best, Michelle, from the Netherlands. We have received your MP3 file, and my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card. Enjoy it. Write to us soon, Michelle. We wish you all the best. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Tell us your views in that email to us. Well, from Bill McDavid from the United States, we have an email. Bill says, "I heard your broadcast today on shortwave radio and especially enjoyed your program discussing the heat wave and fire problems around the world. you are heard very well here in Florida, United States. I would very much appreciate a QSL card from your station if possible. I will be listening to your English service via shortwave in the future. Keep up the good work. First of all, warmest greetings to you. Hello and salam, Bill McDavid from the U.S. And many thanks for writing this email to us so you enjoy one of our programs about the heat wave, about the warming and fire problems around the world. Thank God you enjoyed it. We are glad that you heard it. So you're from Florida and you received our signals in your region, in Florida. So write to us soon, Bill. Tell us your views about our English radio programs. Tell us which programs you like the best. And try to listen to those of our programs about our country to have a real picture and a real image of our country. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon, Bill McDavid. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with an email from England, from Howard Barnett. Stay with us. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, your program. And as I said, here we have an email from Howard Barnett from England. Howard says, "Dear sir, madam, tonight I tuned into your radio station via internet, where I am using a tablet, and I heard you with excellent reception, except for a short break in transmission. What I heard was first the station announcement, and this was followed by some music. I don't know if you verify reception reports via the internet, but if you do, then a QSL card along with anything else you care to send me will be very much appreciated. Sent to the address above. Thank you. Yours sincerely." Salam and warmest greetings to you, Howard Barnett from England. And we do appreciate you for sending us this email. So you tuned in to IRB English Radio via internet. That's great. Maybe via our website. So where you are using a tablet and you heard it with excellent reception. That's great. Thank God you enjoyed it. So you caught up station announcement followed by music. Of course, we have different sections in our broadcast. We have the news part. We have different programs. So we hope that in your upcoming emails or letters, you tell us your views about our programs. You tell us which program or programs you like the best. Generally, reflecting your outlook toward IRB English Radio programs. Of course, my colleagues will soon send you an eQSL card because sending a paper QSL card is not possible in the time of coronavirus pandemic. So, we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, Howard Barnett from England. We wish you all the best. And now, dear listeners, I think here we have to skip to the next section of our program, which is this week's interview, which is conducted with one of our regular listeners. We hope you'll enjoy it.
My name is Ibrahima. Well, I finished from the International Institute of Journalism here in Abuja. That is the headquarters of Nigeria. And also, I make studies. I study in Germany, I study in France, and I study in some parts of African countries. I am not actually a journalist. I'm working with a radio station here in Kaduna, and I also send reports to so many other radio stations around the globe. Well, I must have my kind of job I do is that I have so many things I do, like I do take part-time lectures. I give to some of these part-time university, and I deliver lectures on the French and German language as a part-time lecturer. And I also, I have so many activities that I used to do. I'm a presenter in a radio station and so many other things. Well, the English studies radio station, firstly, I must tell you the fact that I attach and I cherish firstly the style of the presentation that is coming up from the broadcasters. I first listen. It's my orientation that I have to even at the Institute of Journalism. When I used to approach my lecturer on the style of news I used to hear from the English service, it's quite different from our own local radio station here. So I am adapted to the radio station that is the Iran English service because I learned so many things with them, and as such, I put it into my practice before I became a serious, a senior reporter here. So it really helped me because I listened to the style of the presentation first, and the presenters are always, I don't know how they organize their reporters, but it's something that I just discovered. I always learn something from their reporters, the style of the presentation, the way they organize the room. But I must have to say that I discover most of the news is basically Arab region reports and the news always within the region, and some parts from the Africa, little, but sometimes from Asia, little. But the most of the news is emphasizing mostly on the region of the Arab, more especially Iran. I must say I learned so many things from that radio station. I must say big thanks to them. I keep on listening because I benefited so many things from them so far. Big thanks go to all the listeners, fans, love, all over the world listening to International Radio of Iran. Big thanks to you, and I just want you to know that Iran Radio remains one of the untouchable and reliable, best information circulation, best in all time of news discovery, the first always to bring a breaking news, ready to give you all whatever I would. My best regards to all good listeners all over the world. I wish you the best, and I wish you keep on listening to this best radio station. Best is what I give you, and the radio is ready to give you the best.
Wishing you all the best. Here we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. Keep in touch with IRIB English Radio and goodbye.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio. Oh!
The thought on my mind that how grateful we are to have you, oh Hussein.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
And I thank you, Allah. I thank you, Allah. I thank you, Allah. I thank you, Allah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. ثم الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of Insights into the Holy Quran.
In this edition of the program, we are trying to talk about the different verses of the Holy Quran, which are thematically connected to our topic, which is Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. So stay with us, and let's listen to some of the verses.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. And abide in your houses, and do not display yourselves as was the display of the former times of ignorance. And establish prayer, and give zakah, and obey Allah and His Messenger. Allah intends only to remove from you the impurity of sin, O people of the Prophet's household, and to purify you with extensive purification.
We were discussing the successorship of the Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam on the earth, and actually their vicegerency that has been reflected in the narrations. The Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam are truly the chosen ones, and they are the manifestations of Almighty Allah's attributes. They are endowed with the features of the prophets. Except the prophethood, but they have the features of morality and faith of the Holy Prophet in a way that even their enemies admit. Even the fair-minded Sunni scholars have referred to it by reporting that Holy Prophet has said, "من أراد أن ينظر إلى آدم في علمه وإلى يحيى بن زكريا في زهده وإلى موسى بن عمران في بطشه فلينظر إلى علي بن أبي طالب." One who wishes to look at Adam's knowledge, Noah's understanding, and John's piety and Moses' firm acts, he should look at Ali ibn Abi Talib. Anyway, the vicegerents and imams after the Holy Prophet are 12 in number. They all have been appointed by Almighty Allah to have authority over people. Of course, some pseudo-scholars following the Umayyad school think that these position and features are found in families other than that of the Holy Prophet, and that's why they ignored Almighty Allah's choosing the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, and they somehow resorted to their own choice, even though the Holy Quran says, وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَارَةُ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَتَعَالَى عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. And your Lord creates and chooses whom He pleases. To choose is not theirs. Glory be to Allah, and exalted be He above what they associate with Him. And this was the beginning of the deviation that was the origination of the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This is what led to the happenings of Karbala.
O people, compete with each other in attaining noble traits, and hasten to acquire lofty benefits, and do not count those good deeds which you have delayed.
The Holy Quran says, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. And it behooves not a believing man and woman that they should have any choice in their matter when Allah and His Apostle have decided a matter. مَلَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. What happened to you? How do you judge? The Holy Quran says elsewhere. Interestingly, in this regard, Imam Ridha alayhi salam resorts to the Holy Quran and says, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. This is the grace of Allah, and He gives it to whom He pleases. This means that Imam Ridha alayhi salam is trying to prove the right of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and he is trying to denounce those who have been chosen by others as the leaders. And they are the ones who have prepared the way for division among the Muslim nation. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam says, Muhammad's descendants are the best descendants. That is why we have so many narrations from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam introducing the Ahlul Bayt to us by saying, وَعَلِي يُبْنُ أَبِي طَالِبٍ أَخِي وَمِنِّي وَأَنَا مِنْ عَلِي. Ali bin Abi Talib is from me and I am from him. فَهُوَ بَابُ عِلْمِي وَوَصِيِّ. He is the gate of my knowledge. He is my successor. وَهُوَ وَفَاطِمَ وَالْحَسَنُ وَالْحُسَيْنُ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْأَرْضِ عُنْصُرًا وَشَرَفًا وَكَرَمًا. And Ali, Fatima, Hassan and Hussein are the best on the earth in terms of honor and dignity. So this is one of the reasons we have so many narrations introducing the Ahlul Bayt to us, introducing them as the true vicegerents on the earth and the true successors of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are the true meaning of Siratul Mustaqim. They are the straight path. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
دمعت عليك ظلت تنزل جروح يا ابو اليمة بمصابك ذابت الروح طلب راي توفقني بخدمتك ولا تحرمني من الدمع والنور يا ابو النعمة وباب للرحمة أدري توفيقي هو أسبابه إلك أسأل وانت تتفضل من توظفني خادم ببابه
يا سيدي أسألك الدعاء يا سيدي أسألك الدعاء
يا وجهي
يا سيدي أسألك الدعاء يا سيدي أسألك الدعاء
comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This man changed the world.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است.
الله اکبر خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر خمینی رهبر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello, and welcome to our audience, and particularly a warm welcome to our listeners of our program, The Man Who Changed the World. We are carrying on with these programs to shed light on the greatness of this great personality, Imam Khomeini. So, once again, I've got an expert in the studio, Sayyid Taqi Razavi, who's given us our valuable time, an Islamic scholar and researcher in the holy city of Qom, who has been guiding us through the life and times of Imam Khomeini. We spoke in the last program about the background, the holy lineage of the Imam, which is, you know, of great significance because he does come from the Holy Prophet's family, peace be upon them all. And of course, I'd like to say here at this moment that Imam Khomeini, really, as we will go through these programs and discover, he really gave us a glimpse of what our infallible Imams were like, because there's been a huge gap since the time of the great occultation of the 12th Imam, Imam al-Mahdi, may God hasten his appearance soon. But we got a little glimpse in the last 30 years or so, something of what the Holy Prophet's family are like, and in terms of their character, their personality, their distinguishing virtues, their scholarship, of course, and their knowledge, you know, is always a cut above the rest. And, you know, he gave us a glimpse of that. But inshallah, God willing, as we go through these programs, we are going to shed light on this in greater depth. So, Sayyid Taqi, salam, and thank you very much again for being on the program and giving us your valuable time.
Alaykum salam, thank you for having me.
Thank you, that's great. So, Sayyid Taqi, we got to the stage, as we say, we were also putting in the background so that our listeners could understand that in what context all this was happening. And we got to the point where, you know, there are some interesting events happening around the town of Khomein. And we were talking about the fact that because of the Qajar dynasty was at its lowest point, you know, really they had no law and order. Things were pretty much at the end of that particular era. And the British, with their machinations and their imperialist agenda, were changing things here in Iran for the worst. And I'll emphasize that. So what was happening in Khomein at that particular moment in time where, you know, as you mentioned, we were getting to the history of Imam Khomeini's father in the town of Khomein?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, really, I mean, during that time, between 1985, his birth, and and 1903, of his shahadat, and you say, what? His shahadat? Yes.
Yes, yes, it's martyrdom.
Imam
yes.
Khomeini's father was martyred.
Martyred, yes, of
and
course
that area was raising a revolutionary alim-e-deen, revolutionary scholar.
Absolutely.
This Sayyid Mustafa, as his name was, Sayyid Mustafa al-Khomeini, he was Imam Khomeini's father.
Yes.
As I said, born in 1885.
Yes.
He was sent to study Islamic studies in Isfahan.
In Isfahan.
Isfahan. Yeah. He did his most of his studies in Isfahan, and then after completing certain levels in Isfahan, he made his way to Najaf and Samarra, right. And then come back to Khomeini.
Right. So because of course at that time, Najaf was, you know, the central
indeed that was the hub
the
of
institution the central Hawza, you know,
indeed
of
that
of
was the hub of Islamic education,
sure.
and learning,
sure.
And on acquiring a substantially high quality of studies,
sure.
he returned back to
because
to
of course
Khomeini.
in a later program we'll discuss the fact that, you know, how the Hawza system got established here in the holy city of Qum.
Indeed.
By mm-hmm. Ayatollah Yazdi, of course.
And there were other houses in Iran already. There were certain houses in Mashhad.
Mm-hmm.
There was a house in Iraq. There was
sure.
a house in Isfahan.
Sure.
Qum already had its own breeding point of ulama training.
Sure.
Not as a centralized institution.
Right.
But certainly if we look at a hadith from Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam,
mm-hmm.
which talks about the fact that there will be a time near the zuhur of the 12th Imam.
That's correct. Yes,
where
that's a very famous
studies
hadith.
From Najaf would go down into the ground like
like a snake, and
snake
it would reemerge in Qum.
Exactly, and it
yeah.
raises its head up in Qum.
Qum.
You're going back to Imam Jafar Sadiq al-Islam's tradition, Imam Muhammad Baqir al-Islam's
but
tradition.
But of course, the Hawza in Qum took on a totally different color, but that's
indeed.
Something
but
else.
Indeed, that, that is because of the nature, that is because of the nature of the revolutionized nature of the ulema that we're building around the various experiences of fatawa given
sure.
by...
And we are not digressing by any means because, of course, you know, like the father of Imam Khomeini and Imam Khomeini himself, you know, they took central roles in the establishment of this Hawza system. So that it's even if we are mentioning it now, and of course we'll discuss it in depth in a different program, but it's important to mention that these are all elements into the building up of what we're discussing here.
Indeed, not only just elements, the fact that the nature of the Hawza's operative and how it will later on take on, like Imam Khomeini and others, to guide it, to define it, define and maintain its independence from oppressive regimes.
Yes, yes. Now this is very important.
Yeah,
the independence aspect.
You have
of
Najaf,
it.
Which was always
independent
from from any environment to be able to dictate to it. And you see, that's why you've got Sayyid Mustafa Khomeini in Khomeini, his father, taking on a very strong position, a very hard position.
Right.
Against the oppressive Khans who were around there, you know,
that's
because
right.
of the fact that he was able to maintain that independence of the Ali Medin.
Because
scholar.
Of course it has to be mentioned that these oppressive Khans were, you know, at the behest of the corrupt ruling government, were taking lands.
No, they were taking land, but not only that, they were oppressing the people of
that
land.
Of course, I mean they were.
And you know, because of the fact that Imam Khomeini's father was a independent thinking person,
sure, and resisting against this practice, criminal practice,
and encouraging people to be resistant, demonstrate their resistance to them.
Yeah.
Yes, it meant in sacrificing life. A lot of people sacrificed their lives in Khomeini in being firmly against these people. They were tortured. They were lame. The bodies. They were injured in various types.
Yes,
of injuries
yes.
that they had to face. And of course, the very fact that the Khans or the oppressive authorities in those areas were looking at the public as if they were their personal servants.
That's right.
That Imam Khomeini's father stood up against that.
Of course.
And the fact that, you know, there were so many others who were fighting amongst themselves as Khans to take up positions in front of the Shah of that time, that they would be even more evil than the last one.
That's right. The brutality was,
you know, the brutality
was
didn't cease. So,
yeah.
In this process of the brutality that existed, Imam Khomeini's father continuously stood up against these people.
Mm.
And it so happens, I mean, it's really interesting thing one needs to analyze Imam Khomeini's life in relation to this. Because Imam Khomeini, being a younger member of the children of Sayyid Mustafa, he was experiencing things a lot more later on after his father's shahadat.
Yes, yes.
You see, because
after his
father's martyrdom. Because his father was martyred in 1903. And we're using the word martyr. Why? Because, you see, Sayyid Mustafa, he was seeing that the Khan of that time was very oppressive, taking up land, doing a lot of atrocities, in killing as well.
There was a violation
people.
Of women's honor there
honor
as
and
well.
Everything. So what he, with a group of people of Khomein, decided that they would go and visit the province's head, who himself was a corrupt so-and-so anyway. But the very fact that that type of audience was available just for the sake of demonstrating some type of interaction with the community, that these people on their way to represent Khomein to the province's governor, that on the way there, the gangster of the time of Khomein decided that he was going to eliminate them from reaching, from before they were able to reach the governor and present them their case.
That's right. This is what is mentioned in the text, isn't it? That it was during his journey from Khomein to Iraq, or on the way back, that
on the way there.
Yeah, on the way there, that this had happened. This awful
Indeed.
Crime had been
and
committed.
And they shot him, and he was
oh
killed.
My goodness.
And of course, the people of Khomein did eventually got their reward for
the Qasas, wasn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly. Yeah. For what had happened. Mm. But what I'm trying to say is that Imam Khomeini was experiencing was in his bodily existence had felt all these things that had happened around him.
Yeah.
But what was really important, I think, which needs to be brought into this context, is that we have hundreds and hundreds of ulema, thousands of ulema, probably from 1920 up to now, who have
That's
gone through
right.
the Hawza.
I mean, men of great prominence.
You know, but
great
what made Imam Khomeini Imam Khomeini?
Exactly. That is the question.
That is a very important question. And one of those things which I personally feel is the way Sayyid Mustafa Khomeini felt it necessary to have Imam Khomeini raised in a particular way.
And that's what we want to talk about, because this background is very, very interesting, and it does give us very important lessons in the raising of our own children.
You see,
as
what
well.
I found was something really interesting, and this was when Imam Khomeini was born. His mother could not feed him milk.
Right.
She was, and these are interesting correlating concepts.
Right,
look
right,
at
right.
Rasulullah Akram, when he was born, his mother could not.
That's right. He was given
to a wet nurse.
A wet nurse.
But then that's interesting, because he was given to a wet nurse. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates his own rationale for people to understand.
Yeah.
But it is a fact that the Jews of Medina knew of the fact that the Prophet was going to be born. So
that's
they
correct.
Were they were always waiting for that time to get their guidance. What was also a difficult thing was that they weren't going to allow the Prophet to survive. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created an abnormality where the child would be taken out of the Quraysh's environment, that they would not know where Muhammad was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Interesting.
Very thus depriving them the audience of him and the fact that they
so
could eliminate.
So even in Imam Khomeini's life, even at a very, very early stage, we're seeing parallels
Indeed,
with the history of Islam.
The interesting parallel here is the fact that his mother could not. What changed the environment there is that, not God forbid, that his mother was not a spiritual lady, because she was.
No, she was very pious
what happened,
lady, of course.
What happened was that when the child was given to the wet nurse, Imam Khomeini's father said that, look, you will feed the child, but I will give you the food. I will supply you my own food. So that, you know, on one side he's talking about everything being absolutely halal. From my
right
own income.
Right from the beginning.
From my own income. But then what he asked the wet nurse was really interesting. He says, every time you feed the child, I'll give you the food every month. But throughout the month, read a few surahs to the child whilst you're feeding the child.
The surahs from the Quran.
The Quran. When the month finishes and he takes her food, he said, did you fulfill that requirement?
Right.
So the lady says, sir, you said that I should do a few surahs whilst I'm feeding the child. During this month, I've read several Qurans in front of this child.
MashaAllah, my goodness, that is amazing.
You know, so this kind of spiritual, from spiritual out, you know, from the outset, he's being spiritually pasted. You know, the milk that the mother's, the wet nurse is giving him is going to him while she's reciting Quran, he's listening to Quran whilst, you know, we think sometimes, what's a 2 month, 1 month child going to experience
but
from
the
this?
The other thing is that, you know, it begs the question, did the father have some insight as to, you know, the birth of this particular child? Already he was beginning to see something
no,
about
this? No, you see,
this?
What is important, brother, is that if you yourself are a spiritually minded person, you naturally do things which are the consequences of your spirituality.
That is true. That
You're
is
not kind
very
of planning
true.
Anything special.
No,
But you're right. It's the complete culture, the complete
and that is
ethos
the culture,
in which
exactly.
he's.
And that was the culture that's, that Sayyid Mustafa was embedded with, and he was passing it on through
onto his son,
his next offspring. In the same manner, his own son was known later on as Ayatollah Pasindide.
Yes,
he wasn't
yes.
anything small.
Yeah, we'll speak about him.
But
of
what
course,
I'm trying
yes.
to bring in this arena is that the spirituality of his father was also passed to him as well.
Yes,
he wasn't
yes.
anything. You know, the leftover of what was trained for Imam Khomeini that Ayatollah Pasindide came out of. No,
yes.
he was an entity of his own.
Own.
And he stood firm in his own identity.
Quite.
So yeah, his shahadat in 1903. Obviously, Imam Khomeini was only 5 months old.
Five months old at that time.
That
yes, yes, yes.
So you know, it wouldn't have kind of I saw what happened to my father type of thing. Mm-hmm. But what was always reminded as an event, and that lineage of fighting the oppressed was already embedded in the bloodline,
which comes from the Holy Ahlul Bayt all the time, because this is their martyrdom, their resistance at the of oppressors in their particular period, as we talk about the infallible imams, you know, is a tradition which was going to be followed by this holy family as well.
And in 1918 his mother and his beloved auntie
passed away
because of cholera.
And
at that time Imam Khomeini is only 16.
He's 16 at the time, yes, yes.
And you see again
the parallel that you can draw with Prophet Muhammad.
Exactly.
Prophet
that,
Muhammad,
you know,
peace be upon him, the loss of Hazrat Khadija and Hazrat Abu Talib.
Well, the very fact that, you know, he's losing relatives who would be of a supportive.
Of central,
exactly.
Yeah, who were central in his upbringing. Yeah.
Exactly. So Imam Khomeini at 18. But then you see that's the demise of his mom and auntie.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing is, as of. I think it from the dates that I have scribbled down is that from about 1906, when he was about 5 years old,
right.
He's already studying Hoza type of courses. He started memorizing the Quran. He's reading the Quran. He's learning various
Quranic sciences
exactly.
at a very, very early
at a very early age.
Stage.
You're 1908. When he was about 6 years old. As of that time, when he was 6 years old, he's studying the Quran. He's memorizing the Quran, the recitation of the Quran, various Islamic holy books. He becomes familiar with as time goes on. You know, he and the Persian language.
Of course,
he starts mastering the Persian language and the whole old text of Persian languages.
Yes, yes.
He starts mastering them as time goes on.
Right.
That
right.
you know, his studies, want for study, has already started.
Mm.
He's not playing around, so as to say, and left to listen to the next LP that comes out.
In other words, he's already following the Sunnah and the tradition of prophets from before, who. You know, you remind me of Prophet Yahya, actually, who was asked at one time to be playing with kids, and he said, "I'm not here to play around in life. Life was not created in vain." So, in other words, you know, you're already talking about a very powerful tradition, in which, you know, the scholarship is already manifesting itself at a very early age.
But then you see, alhamdulillah, when it comes to Islamic learning, you find that he's also learning the tools of life as well. Learning how to ride the horse, he becomes expert in horse riding.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He becomes expert in using
defensive equipment. He had a great love for sports at a very early age as well.
And you know, he knew how to defend himself with the weapons of the time.
Yeah,
you know,
there's an anecdote or a story associated with that because of, as you pointed out, with the situation with his father, you know, and what Khomeini as a town was going through because of the Khans. Imam Khomeini was very active in his teenage, learning the gun, and of course they were already making what they call the bunkers, by which they were resisting these raids that were coming from these bandits.
All the time, certain relatives were reluctant to see him. Maybe he would get killed or something
that's
like that.
True, that's
but
true.
He would still endeavor to learn the tools of the trade of defense at that time.
Yeah.
And it was,
and it shows him to be a very brave character
indeed.
Right from the start.
Indeed, and when it came to target practice and things like that, he was one for the eye on targeting the having a target at the necessary item.
Mm-hmm.
So you could see he's learning a vast range of expertise which later on proved to be extremely essential.